I think we're about to start. We can't wait for the big round in the front. My name is Ed Sibande. Please, those who are controlling the discussion, may you please give them a try. My task is heavy, but here I will be with our clock. Therefore, without wasting any time, now we need to be the time for the briefing by the administrative chart for the Department of Public Affairs. What progress has made with the intervention? Administrator, because we are ready, the platform is yours. If I can move on whatever, I'll come with questions with other people. The platform is yours. Also acknowledge the MEC is also here, but start with that.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, honorable members, the MEC, Mr. Tom, to my colleagues, thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm not alone, honorable Chair. I'm here with the HOD. Mr. Chamano is sitting across the table from me. I'm only sitting here to be access to be close to the microphone and so I can speak to the table. My other colleague, she is outside. She's Babalo Mahonga. Oh, there she is. Babalo, please let the members see you. Babalo Mahonga is assisting me, ably so, from the 1st of December 2012. Babalo is a chartered accountant and a quantity surveyor. And it's really a pleasure to have her join the team. Earlier on, Chair, I circulated a report to the committee. I know that the committee does have a copy of the report. The presentation was updated, and members will forgive me for. You know, from the session of yesterday, I was picking up a couple of things from what the members were raising. So I've made amendments to my presentation, so there will be changes and you will bear with me. I want to start by saying, members, right from inception and in the diagnosis, the intervention team has been overtaken by the need to recoup. And address the real infrastructure issues. And I don't want to do a diagnostic again. This is a reporting session. But I wanted to just give you that background. Mr. Tom mentioned yesterday that KZN and the Western Cape are one of the two leading provinces in terms of expenditure on infrastructure. It seems that departments are measured on their ability to spend on infrastructure. He then mentioned that with our second list or third list infrastructure budget of 2.3 billion, we are unable to, we are the worst spender, which says a lot about our ability, I think, confirming the things that were picked up in the diagnosis. In May 2012, the ESCO of the province of Limpopo approved an infrastructure delivery management system. And when I report here, when we present our report, whether I'm talking to the structure, whether I'm talking to just the different things that we're doing in the department in terms of infrastructure and references to that infrastructure delivery management system. In essence, what this infrastructure delivery management system is saying is that the public works department is doing this people ask. The public works department should develop systems and processes to handle matters and issues of infrastructure. And the question came up yesterday. The Public Works Department should coordinate job creation as well as issues of emerging contractors. Now, with a challenge of that nature, to a department whose capacity has been depleted by various events, one of which is the split of public works from the Department of Transport, and the transport seems to have taken the cream of the crop when they went across to the other side and became a separate department. Now, this meant that the department could no longer continue to deliver infrastructure as the depth and as the level that it was required to by this infrastructure delivery management system. Immediately, the intervention team, together with the technical team in the department, start developing a capacitation plan. Because you can do all those other things, but if you do not build the capacity to deliver infrastructure, it will be tantamount to upkeep in our field all the time, responding to ad hoc requests, and really unable to do the long term, which takes anything from 2 years planning that is required in order to deliver the infrastructure that is to deliver. Now, without further ado, I want to go straight to the performance, rather the measure of the performance. The first area of the intervention is the immovable assets register. And I want to just talk quickly about the immovable assets register and what it is and what it does. I was paying very much MEC and to the DG of the province when I watched the EXCO trying to understand the extent of the assets in the province so that they can plan properly. I was pained to discover that this is where we as the Department of Public Works should have been presenting this infrastructure or rather this immovable asset to the EXCO. Because when you plan, you look at your strengths, your weaknesses, and your threats. But at this point, that where we see the province of Limpopo is unable to properly do its plan because we do not have a complete immovable asset register. And that is the danger with us continuing not to have this immovable asset register. The immovable asset project was split into two. The first one being the addressing of the continued age binding disclaimer on immovable assets. And the process, and this really was to address this, this was the diagnostic. So I tried to keep the diagnostic, the request from yesterday. We delivered on this project, the process to date. However, it was not successful. The age is still disclaimed us because we were left with two items that we could not successfully resolve with the age. Without wanting to defend what the AG is saying, but when the PWC reforma team started to fail, there wasn't much time to address all the things that they could have. And I'm saying, had they started a month or two earlier, we could have resolved particularly the issues that came as a disclaimer on the immovable certificate. This is the team that's been appointed, the PWC reforma, and that we are, as the city honorable chair, in the process of getting the EG to come and perform the audit before the start of the actual audit of the report. That's how it is on the immovable assets, at least in terms of giving us disclaimers in our future audit report. The person responsible for driving this project, the honorable member, is the general manager of property, who unfortunately is not here. He will be able to report in detail in future should you require him to. He's the person driving the project, and he's the person behind the project. He's fully aware of everything to do with this specific project. So that's where we are on this one. The second part of the immovable asset register is the one that I referred to, that we do not have a comprehensive YAMA compliant immovable asset register. That's what the diagnostic had identified. A register that includes a register of all the properties and all the immovable assets of the province, so that when the premier sits with his team and they are seeking to do their best, all the roads, all the bridges, all the properties are mapped onto a GPS. They can easily just point out and say, we have a road in that area, we don't need another road next to this road, but we need a road further down. And that's really our vision. And I'm saying, once we have this complete movable asset register, it will be able to add that kind of benefit into the province. Unfortunately, due to budgetary constraints with the treasury, this project has been doing lots of start and stop. The first attempt that we made was to extend an existing project as allowed by treasury regulations. This is part of us implementing these other SCM available tools to speed up the process of procurement. The process fell through when we could not agree with the institution that was eager to extend their contract with us. We are ready on this project with our specification. The issues relating to the budget and the availability of funding from the treasury are being resolved and will be resolved very soon. and we will be going on the tender to ensure that we have that removal under the register. Again, and that's the feedback that I've just given, again, the person responsible is the same GM, General Manager of Properties that I referred to him now. He's aligned with this project, and this is his project. The committee mentioned in their last report, that they want a full brief on the progress of this lease review project. This is the project that would, if everything goes okay, make a substantial saving to the 200 million rand per annum rent that we are currently paying. I don't want to go to the story that I keep repeating of how this came to be. I think members by now are fully aware. But Limpopo, the establishment of a capital in Polokwane was unprecedented. The province is an amalgamation of homeland, Venda, Kazakulu, etc. When you arrive in a place like Polokwane, which is the capital of Limpopo, there are no ready government complexes ready to accommodate a government. So the government is beholden to private property holders who maintain set prices. And this is what this project is to do. And I thought I'd provide a little bit more feedback on how the progress of this project. We have a service provider by currently. The project is broken down into these three phases, phase one, phase two, and phase three. Phase one, really, this is the progress that we've made on phase one. We've got, we had 96 leases. Of the 96, four of the leases have expired. We are now working on the 92 leases. And this is the progress that we've made on the 87 leases. And at the time of writing this report, I'm made to believe that there's further progress in terms of phase one. Phase one is the desktop determination of the extent of these leases, where they are, the GPS coordinates, etc., etc. To give us the intelligence so we can make the decisions that we need to make. Phase two of the project is the phase where we go into a property where they charge us, for example, for 500 square meters, we go and literally count how many square meters we're being charged for. We confirm the rate. We confirm the rate that we're being charged, and seek to recover any over deductions on the rent that we're being charged. Remember, our aim is to ultimately reduce the 200 million rent rental. And that what will happen is, as we do this exercise under phase two, we will identify properties that are under or over occupied. Those ones that are under occupied, we will seek to make sure that they are fully and effectively utilized so that we get the value for money that we seek. Those that are over utilized, we will seek to move people out of those areas and identify suitable office accommodation as required in terms of our mandate. So that's the stage of the first phase three of the project, is where the service provider gives us a recommendation on how a property management unit should work and how an effective property management unit that is eager, that is able to respond timely to pressures and demands for accommodation by our user department. So that's where we are with this project. The project is finishing on the 30th of October, that's a couple of days from now, and then we should be able to realize something very close to the amount that I have referred to, a substantial reduction of this 200 million. Again, I mentioned the responsible person there is the GM properties. I mentioned that from inception, we had always been fixated by the need to deliver infrastructure. I mentioned that the premier of the province and his executive have announced the adoption of the infrastructure delivery management system, and therefore immediately we need to find a way to build the capacity. Mr. Dog mentioned earlier in his presentation that the process of getting these professionals was not an easy process. First of all, because the GPS was very stringent and very tight rules for entry levels and appointment of these professionals in terms of the OST. We had to apply under this, and the minister was used to appoint these people who were having a serial approval, which is allowed for in terms of the Public Service Act. We have to rely on that, and we are happy to say that we have appointed 12 out of a total of 36 that we need for the current year. Professionals, quantity surveyors, civil engineers, chief project managers, and those are the people we need to deliver the infrastructure. Recently, we have at least an arrangement, an agreement, with two large private service providers. The AG, in his previous audit, has raised issues with our project managers who are not properly qualified. Now we have an opportunity to have 30 of our project managers who are candidate quantity surveyors, quantity candidate electrical engineers who qualify fully as project managers and business engineers and quantity surveyors, and that is the kind of hard work that we need to build so we can develop the infrastructure. In terms of the alternative delivery methods of infrastructure, we recently entered into an agreement with the IDT. In that agreement, IDT became a temporary review for us while we continue to build our infrastructure. Had we continued with the infrastructure delivery method that we had, using our own internal resources, we would have continued to fail the people of Limpopo with continued under delivery on the infrastructure plan as planned. This will help alleviate that project, and I'll talk a little bit more to it. Approximately 60% of our project has been transferred to the IDT. We've implemented strict monitoring measures to ensure that the delivery at the level of the IDT is of the quality and the standards that we see with the quality schools and the quality hospitals and things that we seek to build. We were stuck with two levels continuing delivering in the way that we've been delivering the infrastructure, or finding a temporal alternative, so to speak, to help us deliver all the infrastructure, and we opted for the NIGT. We've put our risk and our mitigation. We mentioned here that the government levels, both technical and management, as well as at the political level, where the owners of this project, that is our client departments, are involved in the monitoring of the IT. The person responsible for running this project is the general manager of construction management. That's the person about whom this project is aimed at. So while the administrator is available to provide the guidance and ask the questions that he needs to ask, these projects are driven by the officials of the department. This is just continuing on the projects that we say we have over the IDT, and these are projects in the Department of Education, in the Department of Health, in the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and some of our own projects. So 360 billion left with our project. I want to give you a scenario here on the appointment of professional service providers, which is the first stage that we will get involved in before we appoint the contractor. It would typically take us anything from 8 months to 12 months to appoint the PSP. IDT has done it in a period of a month and a half to 2 months. So that's going to be the benefit for us. While expenditure on infrastructure may be showing a slow progress, this expenditure will pick up immediately on the appointment of the PSP. In terms of their plan, as we sit here, from the 14th, that is yesterday, or the day before yesterday, they have been adjudicating on the appointment of contractors. As I said, something that will take an entire year at the moment, and we've done that a few times, demonstrated that it has been to speed up our FCM process. We've got 65 of these health projects. These are coming from the Department of Health, where they had previous service providers, as mentioned here by the administrator. We have taken over this work and handed it over to the IDT to deliver on our behalf, of course, with the strict monitoring that has been captured in the SLA. On our own projects, of course, we've taken some of our own projects and handed over to the IDT. Again, it's a temporary measure. So it allows us to settle down and build the infrastructure that we need to build so that we can do and deliver on the IDMF as proclaimed by by the premier and his executive team, main Judge Club. The person responsible for driving this project, again, the GM construction manager. Office of the CFO, Mr. Doc has lamented in a couple of his presentations a few times on the capacity of the office of the CFO, what is the progress that was made other than appointing the PwC reformer. We have taken 22 of the officials in the office of the CFO. 10 of them also are under the PBL program that Mr. Doctor had mentioned yesterday. This is a program that is targeted at a master level. It's an executive program. We've already had two resignations or retirements from this project. We've got doctor certificates, we've got people are not coping with this project. It's a highly pitched project at master's level to help with those change management and leadership issues that the department has determined by the diagnostic report. Our audit findings have come down from 160 to 130. We could have done more and started in the area, but this is as far as we could go, and we believe that this year we have given the auditor general more information so they could audit us. It was reported again yesterday, there were no instances where the AG was not able to perform the audit because we did not give them the information. Just that we've got historical issues of old balances, of old assets that we were not able to resolve in time for the audit. And that is now the focus of our audit. We focus on the things that gave us a disclaimer. We call the AG before the start of the year so that the AG can perform those audits that I said are historical in nature, close the balances and start with the new balances going forward. We're moving on our action plan. I mentioned that these are the areas that we targeted, the immovable asset register. These are the two areas that I mentioned are still outstanding in terms of the accrual. We will be calling the AG to come into a preliminary audit. The area of accruals is coming up here, the money that we owe to municipalities. They give us these accruals. What municipalities do, they charge us for properties that are on common and land. Or the schools that Mr. Matthews was referring to and the hospitals that are on communal land, we are being charged for by the municipalities. We cannot pay municipalities for assets that do not belong to us. And I also need to mention that together with the Office of the Surveyor General, in order to resolve this issue, the Surveyor General is going to come and perform an audit on all communal land with the aim of transferring those assets into our asset register, so that we can manage the assets. Right now, they are not on our asset register. We will be commencing that project very soon to resolve this long outstanding issues between ourselves and the municipalities. Here again, the official, I don't have it here, but the official responsible for running this project is the office of the CFO, and the CFO himself is responsible for that project. The organizational structure. An organizational structure that talks to the problems that are identified in the diagnostic, and an organizational structure that seeks to respond to the approval by the executive of the IDL map. I mentioned that immediately when we got this approval from the ExCom that these are the responsibilities under the infrastructure delivery management system. The first thing we wanted to do was to build the capacity. With that building of that capacity, we needed an organizational structure that talks to the new responsibilities assigned to the Department of Public Works, what it should look like. We think that with this organizational structure, we have an organizational structure that addresses the core problems of the Department of Public Works. In this hearing yesterday, specifically, you would have heard that there were a couple of panels who are not going to accept as a audit. This project has been identified. Specifically, this organizational structure is going to be the new organizational structure that is going to be proposed for all other parts of the department. So that's another something good coming out of the program because it talks to the new role of the public works. And by the way, I need to mention that the ITMS, while approved by the ESCO, is a national treasury driven project, and to have a common way of acquiring, operating, planning, and disposing of the foyer construction. the structure, and I also need to mention later that we started with a structure of about 7,000 officials. With the 10,000 project, we took out about 4,500 projects, positions. Those are positions that are on the structure, but they're not funded. So we have removed those positions. We are now left with about 2,700 positions on the structure. And again, the official responsible for running the project is the GM Corporate Services. The progress on the structure, we missed a couple of deadlines because the process of consultation proved to be much harder than the thought, particularly consulting with the stakeholder of labor. Need to give them all the time, need to make sure that they understand, so we're prepared to sacrifice on the timelines that we have given ourselves to make sure that there's adequate consultation on the structure. This was just for illustration. I don't think I need to show the structure. It's just saying what I just mentioned now, that it is focused on infrastructure. You won't have that just like the members. You won't have that just something that I included for illustration purposes. But I mean, it talks to the role of Parliament, the infrastructure department. These are some of the things that I picked up from the comments that were raised by members. One of them was the issue of good governance and where we were with good governance. When I look at the 168 findings reduced to 130, specifically about governance, the PFFA, the findings are reduced from 49 to 80. The question asked again by members, do we have the people? That is what we are seeking to build right now. Currently, the makeup of the core business of public works is made up of individuals who are at artisan and tradesman level, and not at the level required but the infrastructure and the depth and the extent that the export the station and by implication the national treasure. We are working with the current people. One of our disappointments is that one of our sustainability projects is that once the organizational structure is approved, at least at the most senior level, we need to ensure that those appointments happen and they happen as soon as the structure is approved. What I didn't mention earlier is that when we appointed the 12 professionals that I referred to in my first or second slide, we appointed people using a ministerial decree, appointed them outside of the establishment. These are not our permanent employees. They are appointed on a temporal contract because you cannot appoint people on a permanent basis outside of the structure. But we could not wait for the structure to come in because we had these responsibilities. So we needed to find ways to deal with our capacity issues in the absence of a structure that talks to the capacity needs of the province. We do have the training initiative that I mentioned. What I didn't mention was that, you know, there's a normal workplace skills plan, about 1,200 or so of our employees undergoing this workplace skills plan, but we need to have a proper head right at the top in terms of leading the infrastructure. That's our focus going forward. This question was asked yesterday, the role of the Department of Public Works vis-à-vis the other departments when it comes to infrastructure. The departments are responsible for planning their own infrastructural needs. We are the implementing agents of whatever plan they would have made. And that's where the role starts to stop. We don't plan infrastructure for it. Hence the thing raised by Mr. Dom on the role of the PMUs. The PMUs in the department or some form of infrastructure management is required in the department, because they are required to plan whenever there's a need for a school. There should be a course of the Department of Education led by engineers who understand planning and that is set the ball rolling for the development of that infrastructure. We are only the implementing agent, and that's where our role starts and ends. I wanted to mention that in the SSA report referred to by the education and the health administrator, one of the outcomes of that report is the state of infrastructure, the state of hospitals and the state of the schools. That's what we are eagerly awaiting, because we need to now start planning what is going to happen to at least the maintenance of those schools and those hospitals, and will be informed when this gets as a report. What is the status of maintenance in the province? It is not a very pleasing sight, partly because the budget for maintenance resides in the individual department. We have no control over what the maintenance is, but what the maintenance plans are in the department, despite the fact that we have this responsibility of being the custodians of the immovable assets. And I think that's something that we need to resolve, at an expo level, to ensure that there is this alignment between the expectations that we deliver on the maintenance and the budget should follow, therefore, those operations. I mentioned briefly about the PMU and proposal, the need for us to continue to have this expertise sitting in the individual department, but not encroaching on the public role to deliver infrastructure. When I heard the member talk about the blacklisted officials, immediately I got on the phone to try and find out how many officials were blacklisted since we started aggressively monitoring our projects going forward from about February of 2013. There's a total of 3 that have been blacklisted. There is 3 that is on their way to be blacklisted, and there's another 7 that have been recommended for blacklisting. Now, when you look at that statistic, it's actually a very scary statistic. When you consider that we've got about 54 service providers currently on site, and out of those, there are 30 that are in the process of being blacklisted or have been blacklisted. It's a very scary statistic. It means that there is a lot of contamination in the service providers that are currently on site, and but we still need to discover that. How do we discover that? These professionals that we've appointed, they have established a committee within the department to go through all the infrastructure projects that we've undertaken. Of course, the priority are the current projects, but we need to go back to all the infrastructure projects that we've ever carried out. We may have underestimated the extent of our project manager's involvement in these projects, giving us poor quality projects, at a huge cost to the public service. And there may have been elements of criminality as well, as indicated by a recently suspended official, a project manager who was found to have abused his role as a member of the BEAT Evaluation Committee, where he would effectively extort money from the winning bidder in a way. But it's a matter that before the court, and we believe that this is an endemic practice that is happening in our department, but we're doing something about it. We have so many things, and we've taken those cases and we'll refer them to the authorities to pursue further actions. This was again by former illustration, the role of the department starts from here to here, that is the health department or education department, and then our role will begin from about here in the life cycle of this asset. That was just by means of illustration in case this came up. I've gone through the slide, and I wanted to just talk to this hub and spoke model again by form of illustration. You don't have a slide. This really is the infrastructure delivery mechanism of the Department of Public Works going forward. This is what is going to look like going forward. It's called the hub and spoke model. What it says is that you have a central hub that manages, or rather determines, the policies and the ways of doing things, and manages the customer interaction, the customer relations, and supply chain. Whereas you have these other 5, we do have 5 districts in the Limpopo. You have the other 5 districts looking rather at the actual delivery of infrastructure. You cannot duplicate chief quantity surveyors in each and every district because you don't have them. So you need to make the best use of the available chief quantity surveyors and chief engineers that are at your disposal. And you would rather have them sitting here managing the major projects as is really indicated here. We've categorized our maintenance and defined our maintenance and projects by categories, category 1, category 2, and category 3. This is in the order of complexity. So the most complex ones will be category 3, the category 2, and category 1, you can say, can be done at the level, as I mentioned here, in this hub and spoke water. Those can be carried out in these districts that we have. But at the level of the center, you would like the center, that is your hub, to deal with this category 3 maintenance project. And we'll define it in the areas of electrical, in the areas of mechanical, in the areas of construction management, what those areas are and what those categories are. I've spoken to that statistic of electricity suppliers. There was a question raised yesterday about land ownership. We will all remember that it has recently been announced that government actually owns 14% of the land in South Africa. And the rest of the land belongs to people other than the government. Most of the land is in the KZN. There's about 8 million hectares of land that is unaccounted for. And of that 8 million hectares of land, 1.2 million of hectares of that land is in Limpopo. The project that we have with the Surveyor General seeks to unpack that 1.2 million rand of land. I also need to mention that in terms of the deeds register, all government owned land in Limpopo is known by 14 names, 1-4. We believe that there are other unknown names by which government property is referred to in Limpopo, which are not in your deeds register. So if you use the 14 names to search for government property, you will find it. You will never find it using the other unknown names by which they are known. We're hoping that the Immovable Asset Register project, the Surveyor General project, will help reveal and help us consolidate that Immovable Asset Register. Recent taxes for schools, I mentioned briefly about it, and the issue of electricity, yes, correct, Mr. Matthews has been liaising with the department. The education department is using industrial electricity for their schools. It is charged at a rate much higher than your Benetton, who have got special arrangements with electricity, rather for the supply of electricity. We will be engaging with the department, we will get to the bottom of this. Our engineers are engaging with the officials in the office of the Department of Education. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about sustainability. Members, you will remember that in your visit of October 2012 in Limpopo, there was an uncomfortable situation where our report was rejected and we were asked to rework it. Immediately, the minister summoned myself, summoned the HOD, summoned the former MEC, and basically, you know, read us the riot act in terms of how we need to make sure that things are happening in the department. That has since happened, and that is the case. Currently, the HOD, from about the 4th of October, he is in charge of running of the affairs of the department, except for the office of the CFO, where we continue to provide him with the support. Of course, the administrator retains the accounting officer function until the further announcement. The HOD currently is reviewing the performance agreement in line with the operational plans of the department, because all these projects that I've been talking about here are in the operational plan of the department. They are also in the APP of the department as part of the sustainability to anchor them so that when committees exercise their oversight, they are able to act on this project. Therefore, the responsibility for this project is now squarely with the HOD and but to the GMs that he has. I mentioned that we need to make the appointments after the structure has been approved, particularly in the core business, at least at the top level. There's the position of a DDG, who's the overall overseer of the infrastructure in the Department of Public Works, is the department, the position that we are targeting at the most. From about, I can't remember the date, but we have a new MEC. I thought I had image, but I'm failing to keep up with this MEC. He has taken a very hands-on approach in the management of the affairs of the department. a government specifically is in his office. He's got a 14 plan. We probably talk about it when he rounds up. He's got a 14-point plan. It's a very practical 14-point plan, and amongst the things that are on that 14-point plan are the age issues. The expectation is that the HOD and his management team will be required to report to the MEC on an ongoing basis on a plan to turn things around and lead us to an improved or clean audit campaign in 14. I also want to dovetail this sustainability with the sustainability that was explained by Mr. Tom yesterday, and how the areas of supply chain management, standard operating procedures, and the standardization of the database will benefit us as the department as it is right at the head of the things that are affecting us as the department. This is my passing back. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Admin, for your presentation. But nevertheless, I don't want to preempt anything. And also, I wanted maybe to proceed to give this opportunity to the MEC if you wanted to say something, because we'd be wrong to just continue without acknowledging their presence. In the meantime, while MEC is giving whatever, MEC, number one, you are not forced to do 1, 2, 3. Like earlier, the previous indicated that it was 1, 2, 3 among themselves in arrangement, but we wanted to hear your voice as well. And also, all the HOD, he or she must be. Prepare herself or himself, not compulsory. If there's something you can indicate, but if there's nothing, whatever, the platform is yours, MEC.
Yeah, no, thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. A very good afternoon to the honorable members. I would not be tempted to say much except to agree largely with what our administrator has just presented, noting that it is a report produced collectively, and of course we work very hard to make sure that working together we consolidate on the recovery plan that he has been running in the department. Went further to strengthen and make sure that we elaborate that into what he has just referred to as our 14 points plan, referred to confidence in the department as a turnaround plan, trying to make sure that we work very seriously on those matters that are very fundamental to change how that department has to conduct its business. And I would imagine as well that from what our chief administrator has presented yesterday, we have been able to plug off all the points that are very critical to take.
Sorry, Chief, let me protect you. Take this one. So, may I have somebody from the staff to assist us? Because we wanted to hear that.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would say that we have been able to make sure that probably from what our chief administrator has presented yesterday as the provincial report, this report equally plugs on from what he has to indicate the integrated approach and processes of repositioning the department in the whole provincial equation. And like I've said, I'm very much comfortable with what has been said. If I get tempted to talk about the 14 points plan, I may spend another 1 hour. So I would not be tempted to get there. I think the administrator and the head of department will supply the committee with such a plan so that you can at your own time go through it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lee. Let's give this opportunity to the HOD before we continue as well. Same procedure. HOD.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, members, and the misses and colleagues. Let me request the indulgence of the Chairperson that it is very difficult for me to speak after my MEC has spoken. And if you allow me, I will only take advantage of the question session and clarify where there is a need.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Nevertheless, I won't comment anything at this moment. I'll wait for other people to give their views and the questions so that we interact with the presentation as usual. Honorable members, let me give you this opportunity to start maybe to interact with the presentation. You will show me by raising of your hand. Masabane. This side. It's Honorable Member Liz. Don't be surprised. It's an African name like Masamba. It's Honorable Member Liz. Okay. Next one. Honorable Member TBF. Followed by Honorable Pinky. Honorable, okay. Honorable Member Pinky. Next one. Honorable Member Jacobs. Honorable Member Temba. I'll be the last one. In that water, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few points, please. The you did cover, in a kind of high level, the question of the lease review project. There presumably has been a report that's been produced by that project. Are we able to get a copy of that report? Can you tell us a little bit about what the report says, what are its recommendations, and how the department plans to implement those recommendations? You're very positive about the ability of your department as a result of action taken to meet the planned capital expenditure and maintenance. So what are you saying then, that your appointment of PSPs via IBT, the work of the IBT, is going to ensure that the budget for 2013 is 100% spent, and of course 2014 presumably will also be 100%? Do you really believe you've got the capacity to do that? And do you really believe that the IBT has the capacity to do the job that you want them to do for you? Then the third thing, and you emphasized the importance of the client departments having the capacity. Now, it seems to me that the client departments don't have the capacity to supervise the work that you do for them as the implementing agent. And won't that be a drawback when in terms of actually getting the work done? Interesting that you're refusing to pay rates on communal land and leafy, that sounds good. But then who actually built the buildings on communal land? That's also just as illegal in inverted columns as paying the rent. There's a problem, because once you've committed and you now got a school, well, that commitment must go through to paying rent. I'm curious as how did that school, clinic, hospital, whatever it is, actually get built on communal land? Are you able to give us some stats in terms of the, you know, we heard about the 303 or 302 cases from from General Dramatis there. How is that? How many of these cases apply to you, and how many of those are people who are suspended? In other words, surely that's having an impact on your ability to provide the services that you should be providing. Mr. Chairman, I think that's interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Honourable Member Tidiane.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 3 of the slide presentation, that you also, this question is for Treasury. Delay in the issuing of a letter of financial commitments from the Treasury and the mitigation discussions held with Treasury, what's the outcome? Can you please inform the table of that? And then page 9 of your slide presentation. Appointment in senior positions under the new structure, referring to the senior positions, can you be specific? And then on page 18, which I don't have here, that was on the screen, there's something about 8 million. Can you just go to page slide 18? Eight million unaccounted for. What's that 8M? There's something missing after the 8M. What is that? And then lastly, Chair, we have to look at the best practices that was rolled out here and implemented in this department under administration, and best practices then for other provinces. What can other provinces learn from? I think you can make that list for us as the administrator, because you come from the national department. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you for the good report that you're giving us. Maybe with the 6 months or 7 months left for us, I'm not sure whether we may get time to go back and see for ourselves all of these things, beautiful reports that you're giving us. I just want to congratulate you for this progress that you are doing. In the narrative, you are talking about the involvement of the ICT, which to me is a best thing to do, given the history of what. Given the conduct of other service providers that are changing us, the whole question of charging us exorbitant funds, IDT becomes cheaper, and the time taken by IDT is very strict, it's monitorable. What I will ask is that out of your report, there are many positive things. So what I will ask is that how are the departments buying in, whether you may know it or not knowing, but how do you think the other departments are buying into this, because your department cuts across all departments. In line with that again, how far is the attitude of the officials working in the department? How is it now? Because like Home Affairs, that was used to be called the horror affairs, it is no longer horror affairs. Department of Public Works throughout South Africa is not having a good history. So in terms of the attitude, changing of the attitudes of the officials, how is it now? The other one is on the, you are talking about the challenge to say you have identified officials that are involved, whether found with their hands in the till, and service providers. The cases are with the SIUs and the DBSA. And you are saying the time that is involved there is may impact on the performance of the department. Has this been raised with the minister involved in terms of trying to raise these things within the cabinet? The other one is on the, you are recommending on performance management that if there is an implementation of the performance management criteria, that will help, like for instance, I'm asking about the attitude and the buy-in, that will help. I think also the this question to say, is the, I'm not sure that I should back in it, or the minister might institute it, I'm not sure, what are the DG. So this challenge that you're giving us, is the discussion is here, is it been taken forward so that people, when they get performance bonuses, it's not just awarding them money that does not belong to them? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on page 5. I'm not clear on what it means on no capacity to deliver infrastructure. Who is the competent? Is it the government official or what that made us to have an alternative method of delivery, like transferring 60% of our project to an implementing agent to alleviate incapacity pressure? Can you just explain to me so that I become an informed leader, so that I become an effective leader? Because through experience, when we sit with departments discussing here in Parliament, we find that there are some agencies that are not doing good. And you find that there are officials who are failing to have control over agencies and to create problems. So can you please just expatiate a bit so that I understand? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, you know, my observation, the Department of Public Works, they are problematic. Most of the problems in those ways, at national level, because they involve assets and infrastructure, which have billions involved, and then you have to give tenders to different people. I'm not so sure why that the state have moved from this report to the one that is giving us now. Because if you look at this report, which is written confidential, there are so many unanswered questions in this report. And this one is a glossy one that he has given us now. But I will focus on the one that he has given us. But I would have loved that we had to
go in detail in this one, because I think this one is an honest one. It is an honest one because it gives us the challenges which are there in the department. Now, I've got a problem that the organizational structure has not yet been approved. And then you say there's no capacity on technical capacity as well as in the office of the CFO. How are you going to deal with that if the organizational structure does not have been approved? Because it means you have not employed people who has to be given that capacity. It's a problem to me. The other problem that I have from the audit findings, you say there were about 160 findings, and your only resolve page, because we have moved from 160 to 130. So it means there are still problems, financial problems, that have not been resolved. It's a problem to me, because it shows there is no movement. If you are moving from 160 to 130, that means there are about 130 problems that have not been resolved. So that is another problem to me. But nevertheless, I don't want to go to this one of confidential report, because it also has a board of forensic investigation and so on, things that don't appear in what you're telling us. But I think we'll deal with that, because we are in the committee of, in the select committee of parliament. We still have to question and go into detail on this report.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether what was said yesterday, that the patient is out of the ICU, whether this is also, this department is also the patient that is really out of the ICU, because when I listened to the administrator, you responded to the questions that were raised yesterday, and you didn't really go into detail. As like when we first met in Limpopo, and we got presentation from administrator about this department, and the way you actually mentioning, you know, the, for example, the issue of the the way you responded to this issue is like what we usually get when we call the National Department of Public Works. We are really not sure whether we will ever get that right. But I want to ask you whether you do have the exit strategy in the department, so that when you go, then that strategy will remain in the department, so that the department doesn't maybe fall off again. So can we hear that strategy? Because definitely, as my colleague has to be said, we didn't dwell into this, and we were even, you know, whispering to each other that you are away from the other document. Yesterday you listened and you said all members will ask questions on what they were asking yesterday. We were asking about the baby, I mean the patient that is out of ICU, how that patient now coping. So, Chair, thank you. We will hear about the exit strategy, whether that will assist this department. And we wish the MEC, the new MEC, well in this department to actually
Chairperson, I would want to get clarity also on the narrative where you talk about, let me not pronounce this, 7.1.1 on the asset register service provider charged the department 14 million, which now it has escalated to 58 million. What I would ask is that has this estimate of 58 million been paid to this service provider, or how much has been paid currently? And then the other one is also on the 7.1.3 on the overpayment on leases. Also, we found out that this over the forensic report has revealed this, and I'm not sure also in terms of who must institute the recovery of this money that is overcharged. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. But I don't want to respond on behalf of the department, but I think this document which is given to us, yes, still, if it's confidential, it means that it's still a bubble somewhere, but to us it's not confident. Therefore, I don't think that we must worry about that one. For us, it's to identify key challenges and raise it with the department, because the department is still with us. And let me go to the question. I was just commenting on that one. Maybe some would be the reputation, but I wanted to avoid the reputation. I can't remember which. I think, yes. Also, I was looking for the very same thing. The presentations, the linkage between the department and also with the administrators, and also to appreciate the Premier once more. Premier, we are appreciating the working together, and we believe where we are coming from, that working together can do more. Because if we are tense, we won't achieve it all. To us, you know, it's very interesting, because at least the document which is called progress implementation, at least that is an ordinary itself, it is achievement. No matter there were some challenges which we're supposed to ask questions. My first one, in your presentation, you were talking about the underutilized and the utilized and overutilized units or accommodation, of which you indicated straight that you reminded us that we mustn't forget that the background of Limpopo itself, that people, the mentioners were pleased to, that it was a collaboration between the former homelands. But nevertheless, you never touched about the people who are inflating the rates, because that is killing. You see, Mr. Tom and the Premier, I don't think we are going to achieve the goal if there are still people who are still, the wolves are still sitting there inflating the rates. We'll be happy if you can indicate that. What are you doing with those people who are still inflating rates and overcharging the court? For example, it is alleged somewhere when a person hires a catering company, a millionaire example, he will, instead of charging one teaspoon for 5 cents, whatever, you charge for 5,000 rands. such things as it can have, because it will rub off whatever, because I was checking it against the presentation on page 33, what was presented by Minister Tom yesterday. And then also, my question, the presenter, yesterday, Mr. Tom presented about one of his page, the 500 million, which is still remains unapproved. If you can clarify it, because they, most of the people were not in the target of public works. And here's the question, is your department affected? If they are affected, how many people? Because we wanted to maybe to have some proposals. So that some investigation may be made so that you to check whether are these authentic, are these realistic, are being owned or not. Because it was a broad statement that 500 million rands, which is not accounted, is still to be approved. And then there was a thing which was raised by the honorable member about the issue of the organizational structure. Myself, I was looking at it. The vice said the risk, you said, somewhere in one of the documents, to certain risk and mitigation, that in terms of the, we do have our report, which is PFMA. Tell us, in your proposal, does it include that perimeters of PFMA and who constitute those structures? Because what is the key fundamental is that it is alleged somewhere from how in the past some people were just creating a space for the people who doesn't belong in that particular department. That's where we encountered problems. And then you come to, there is a thing which is still outstanding in terms of your own infrastructure. Yes, from our own investigation we know that there is a limited progress, but you never touched it. I don't know whether it's, I think this one must come to transport. Because I'm still concerned about the issue of the police, which was not responded yesterday. Let me leave it to the transport. Must be ready for that question. The man, what is it? Man care and breaches, why? Because we know exactly, previously we know that there was nothing, but now it might have been there is something. Okay, let me do that. Let me come to this document which our level members were arguing about it. On page 7, what is worrying me, organizational design. You said for the first time to align the organizational meaning of the LDPW, there are no resources to implement structure, that's what you said. And the structure is due to be finalized on the 8th July. And I think now it's October, July is gone. It's gone. I don't know whether something has been done. He called it any coincidence now. Because another thing which is a challenge to you, Mr. Tom, we gave our hands and we gave ourselves to you that if there are challenges, if they need amendment in terms of the law, tell us so that we can make some propositions from proposals. Because I don't think that we have been ever consulted about it. You are running about short about this and this and this. What is the certain call? There is, what is the problem? What is it? Because this date is already gone. And then lastly, I think on page 14, 15, about I'm worried about projects. And you said some of the things you have detected. It's about security companies appointed without following tenders. Who are the security companies? Help us so that we know it mustn't be a spillover to other provinces as well. And how many are they? It's very much important that we know about this, and I know that some of the things are still embargoed because you gave it to some of the things to NPA and SIU, etc., etc. If there is something like that, therefore, that is something else. And before I give it to you, Honourable Members, I won't allow all of you, because if you come with after thoughts, we'll be having a problem. We can't get hold of some of the things. But I'll give you this opportunity. Now, I'm not ready to speak about that one. I'll give you this opportunity, only two. Because if you allow the process of after thoughts, we're still coming to transport, and we're supposed to go to on lunch. And what I'm scared of, people on lunch, they with the program, that by this time, their food will be cool, something like that. Over to you, Mama, Uma Pizza, followed by Honourable Member Obidi. That's all.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm really learning from the team, and I'm having a very unpopular suggestion or request. I should think the gist of the report is in this thing. And say you did not read on this document, and it's before us, and it's written confidential. Being confidential doesn't mean that we did not discuss about it. You did not expatiate on it, speaking to the document to us, so that we clearly understand precisely what it is that is cooking in the pot, boiling in the pot. Now, I will suggest to us, we did not waste time regular, because we are here in order to relook it. So therefore, my request is that if it is possible, Reverend Nyangata report here, administrator, if we think or believe we have a time constraint, because we must not care about time, but we care about understanding the situation so that we can be able to be effective as the Select Committee on Public Works, so that we are able to answer questions when necessary, appropriately so. Therefore, if it's possible, we stop right here. If we go to lunch, we go to lunch. If people think we will be delaying some other department to give the report, then we can suspend this Department of Public Works and we deal with others. Then they can leave and we remain with Public Works, even if it means midnight, as long as we are satisfied. Because we are not doing justice to issues. Because remember, this intervention, it was a very painful thing. As you came in, and you really assisting, but then I don't understand why are you not alleviating the pain that we felt when you came in, because it was hard to accept that we are being put on under administration. And you need, maybe I'm talking like this because I'm from Limpopo, and I felt the pain, the deepest pain, when we were put on administration. But now I can see light that is assisted. So do not hide the gist of everything. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chairperson. So that one was like, let me go back to what I read yesterday about that bridge, which the Chairperson I'm reading it to you. He says, department plan to me, the transport plan that they want the bridge, and the public works doesn't. It came out from Mr.
strong, but only one bridge there. There are two bridges where we couldn't find anything. And I don't see anything here that talks about follow up on those people, or the cases are with the SIU or what. Thanks, Jefferson.
Right, before we go to, I need somebody to check us over, Jefferson, check, because I wanted Aljuma check. Department, please continue to give us responses, because my understanding is that chair, as a chairperson, everybody was given an opportunity to give us a progress, because we spoke about the progress report. And then we know very well that there are still challenges. As you indicated from the earlier presentation of Mr. Tom yesterday, it's upon us as members as well to also to check, to peruse to the documents which are given to us. What I'm requesting to everybody here, please, let's take our time. If there is a document which is in front of you, check the question which you might ask. So to encourage the colleagues from the department, from the Bologwane and whatever situation, is that we are still on the right track. Therefore, overall chair, assist us with time so that we can chair. And then, Premier, I'll give you an opportunity when we come back. Don't worry.
Thank you.